This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Geek Squawks, my name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, I just want to ask you one very simple question. Are you a giver or are you a taker?
I guess I'm a giver, but I do hope that we're only talking in the radio-friendly sense.
Yeah, we are. Well, apparently, so according to your friends at New Scientist, brain scans have identified a region of the cerebral cortex responsible for generosity. And, you know, some of us are kinder than others. So according to Patricia Lockwood at the University of Oxford and her team, they identified this area using a computer game that linked different symbols to cash prizes that either went to the player itself or to one of the study's other participants. So you're giving this gift to someone else, but you've got to accomplish something within the game. So volunteers readily learned to score prizes that helped other people. But as soon as they sort of found out and learned about the game, they tend to learn how to benefit themselves a lot more quickly. MRI scannings revealed that apparently one particular brain area, it seems to be a lot more active when participants chose to be more generous. It's prioritizing benefits for someone else over getting rewards for themselves. So with these findings, it may lead to, you know, new ways to identify and understood antisocial or psychopathic behavior. However, I think this is just a way of to find out, you know, who we should vote in power, because, you know, who's more generous than the other person? Just put them through a brain test.
Yeah, I think this is actually really cool, and it I think there've been some other more psychological tests as well on the way people handle instant gratification versus delayed gratification. So they've found that people will prefer to go for a $1 reward now rather than a $20 reward sort of a week later or 2 weeks later. It's kind of interesting the way that we're opening up all these areas with the brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen as well from a lot of the crowdfunding sites, there are also a lot of wearable devices that are supposed to be, you know, accessing our brain waves to help, you know, manage our mood, and looking at these kind of treatments also as a way to maybe manage things like depression and other kind of mental disorders rather than using medication. So it's not really surprising that we're finding out all of these kind of personality traits from doing these kind of neurological scans. We're really, really only just starting to understand the brain and personality and the way everything kind of interacts.
Yeah, it's surprising, you know, because, you know, tech has, you know, it's so advanced, but we still don't quite fully understand how the brain actually works and functions.
Oh, we haven't got a clue, which is, again, why with artificial intelligence, we've abandoned trying to make human-style brains. We're just making very, very good computational machines that can actually evolve their own methods of learning, because there's no way to replicate what we do.
Yeah, in the AI, 1 + 1 is definitely 2, but in the real world, you know, you've got some people who's determined that 1 + 1 is 11, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, it's now time for
Weekly Tech Talk Updates, brought to you by General Electric.
Ziplining into a volcano sounds like something for adventure tourism, but for some researchers, it's all part of a day's work. Digital industry company GE has created the world's first connected volcano by partnering up with Sam Cosman. He's the human version of a heat-seeking missile, the world's most prominent volcano explorer. Together, they have connected sensors to a live volcano in Nicaragua called the Masaya Volcano in order to gather data for early warning systems and other purposes. By utilizing and riding on GE's industrial internet software, critics, the foundations are already in place, and soon they'll be able to provide real-time access to data from the volcano. Even better news is that this will be open source data for anyone who's interested in developing real-time monitoring apps associated with the data. There's still, however, a long way to go before all this is possible, but currently over 80 sensors are being installed along the side of the volcano to measure the gas and the atmospheric level. Oh, And the zip lines, well, they're a key part of this project. It allows them to move deeper into the active volcano without disrupting the fragile edges along the interior of the volcano. Eventually, there will be an online portal that will let people around the world to check in on the volcano to see its status. The ultimate goal? Well, being able to predict eruptions before it happens. But as I said before, it's still a long way to go. However, it's so cool that they're actually putting sensors into a real-life volcano. And you can check out all the activity on GE Snapchat and on Instagram and on Twitter as well.
This weekly update was brought to you by General Electric.
And now, Matt, it's time for your King of the Crowd.
Okay, I'm sticking with the superfoods theme this week. This device has currently made 5 times its target goal, but I will say this isn't an endorsement, and I can honestly not tell you if it works. The Vita Stick 2 is a Bluetooth-enabled device that claims to measure over 30 vitamin and nutrient levels in your body, including things like sodium and potassium, as well as your vitamins A, B, D, whatever. Does it do this with a blood sample or by analyzing your sweat? No, it does it with an acupuncture point and an app.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So as I've said, I've no idea if this thing works, but if it sounds like your kind of thing, you can find the Vita Stick 2 on Indiegogo, where it's currently selling at $99 US plus shipping. And it has an estimated shipping date of November.
There you have it. Another Bluetooth technology. It seems to be your favorite.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've destroyed my own embargo, haven't I?
You have. Anyways, Geek Tunes. Matt, you suggested this. The Prophets of Rage. They're sort of like this super group.
Super group, yeah. Of members of Rage Against the Machine. And
Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Cypress Hill as well.
Cypress Hill, yes. Yeah, this is... This is a fantastic track, and it actually sounds like vintage era Rage Against the Machine, but still kind of modern.
Yeah, it does feel very much that. And it actually came out from the American politics as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think they, because Tom Morello, the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, is very socially conscious, and he's done a lot of kind of political activism stuff. So it's not surprising that he's gotten together with Chuck D from Public Enemy, another...
very vocal
social activist. So yeah, I think they've definitely got a lot to say about the current political scene in the state.
All right, this is the Prophets of Rage with the first song from their album. It's also called Prophets of Rage. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.